This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, we are live. We're here on a Wednesday. All right. Yes. Gord says he's joining us, so we won't hold our breath.
At Gord o'clock.
Gord o'clock, correct. How you been?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, Gareth. Been three days on the trotter.
I know you've been working very hard.
Yeah, working hard for my money.
We've got to break the news to people somehow. So I suppose we better do it now.
Okay.
Ben is extremely busy with this new business that he started just a little while ago, and it's going very well, which obviously everybody likes and everybody's pleased about.
Thank you.
But that does mean that Ben is not going to be able to be joining us every morning. And the moment he's been coming in, Mondays and Fridays and sometimes Wednesdays.
Yeah, it's been tapering off.
Yeah, and he came in and sat in front of me the other day and said, listen, he's worried about his health, he's worried about a bunch of things, and he needs to get his priorities right, and the show is just kind of a bit of a pain in the backside for him because of the early mornings and... I understand that. I mean, there isn't a day where you wake up at 4:30 and go, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Never happens.
Not even in summer. So, yes, Gareth, I am resigning. I think
when you say it like that, What have we all done to you?
Sounds like I'm at a job that I hate, but of course that has not been the case. It's just, my schedule is such and...
Right. Yeah, I get that. And I said to Ben, you know what, I'm not surprised because when you're as busy as he's been recently and he's been flying around a lot, I mean, you've missed a couple of shows because you've been so busy and then...
Yeah, and that always annoys me.
I know, because you're actually very consistent. You're one of the most consistent people. And I think you kind of like not spreading yourself too thin because you've got creative work to do.
Yeah.
And when you have creative work to do, you only have X amount in you. People who are not creative, and there are a lot of them, don't understand this, but when you're required to come up with interesting stuff and ideas and be original, be thoughtful, and you're not just a drone who does, you know...
Just churns things, yeah.
Right. You don't just sit with a spreadsheet every day and tick things off. If you're required to be that kind of person, you have a finite amount of creativity in you. And when that's depleted, you just crash horribly.
Well, completely. I think...
If your income depends on it, that's even worse because then you crash and you don't have anything to sustain yourself.
Well, then you just crash and you're poor, which is a horrible combination. It's the worst. It's even worse than crashing and burning, because at least you're warm then.
The worst.
Yeah. And obviously, my health hasn't been great in the last sort of 6 months or so. Yeah. I've actually been a feeble mess, Gareth, to put it into a phrase.
And that also surprises me, because I said to Leanne and Sia one morning when you told us that you weren't coming in, you know, that out of all of us, you've always been the healthiest one, and you kind of do the sport here, but you've been a sportsman.
Yeah.
Like, you've done a lot of active stuff your whole life long, and it must have driven you bloody crazy to have been bedridden, essentially, for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it has been. It's been quite a frustrating 6 months in that with my dicky back and all the other things. So, yeah, I just do need a bit more time
Sounds like old men problems.
Well, that's the thing. It's been, like, hastened. All my old madness has been hastened by the fact that my schedule has spread me a bit thin. So, yeah, I've got to make a tough call, and unfortunately, this is the tough call.
So Ben's not going to be – Friday will be his last show, and we're going to give him a nice send-off on Friday.
Oh, that's nice.
But, it doesn't mean he's out of the whole community. He'll still be popping in every now and then, and I'm sure we'll chat to
you. Exactly. I mean, Cliff Central is part of who I am as a person. It's not just being some place where I've drawn money and given myself semi-months of purpose. It's important, this place, too.
No, sure.
And it has been from the beginning.
So don't go down this road that we always go down when anyone leaves. And it's happened with Mabale. It happened with Leanne the first time. It's happened with Flax. It happened with Damon. It happens with everybody. But we're not going to get miserable and depressed about this. It just means that, you know, this change is inevitable.
Can you imagine saying it to Sia? He'd be miserable.
Well, he'd be crying. Oh, by the way, Sia's not in this morning because he's sick.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. He's not feeling great. So he's not here at the moment, but I have no doubt that he will be ready to go tomorrow. He sent me a very miserable message this morning at like 5 to say, this is some welcome back, because obviously I've just been away for 2 or 3 days. This is not the best welcome, but I'm feeling nauseous, so I'm going to take the morning off. But Gord is going to join us, and Ben will be here today.
Well, Gord also sent us a really snivelly message last night.
Yeah, read that, because that's even more pathetic. I didn't know how to respond, so I responded with an emoticon.
I started reading it, and I was thinking, is my WhatsApp stuck on a few weeks ago? Also, BTW Oaks. I mean, he goes BTW.
By the way.
I mean, what does he do with the time that he saved those letters on? I've been off work today with flu vibes. I'm better than yesterday and would def's like to do the show tomorrow, but just a heads up, if I get any worse, I might not have it in me, and I'll sounds like shit. Well, thanks, Gord.
Gord's quite a grammar Nazi, so for him to have said I'll sounds like shit, it's very rare. He usually would delete the message and retype it.
Prior to that, he said 4 out of 5 teachers in his school adored him, and the 5th one absolutely hated him.
Yeah, this conversation is one that we've got to have, and I want to save it maybe for Friday.
Yeah, when class nerd Leanne Moll is back.
Leanne was sending us screenshots of her reports from, I think it must have been primary school.
But it looks like she's kept them in a flip file this whole time because she had it on like
a nerd. She had them on call. Like, you know when people, if you say to someone, do you remember that place we were at in 2012? There was this, after this rugby game, we were all at this bar, and then they go, oh yeah, sure, here are the pictures. And they just pull them up immediately, and you go, what?
And they know everyone's name.
Yeah, how did you get that right? People who are so organized, their whole life is filed. And I mean, I try my best to be organized, but I'm nowhere near that level. She pulled out her report cards from like all of primary school, and then she says to the rest of us, challenge, guys, this is last night at like 9 o'clock. Challenge, guys, get your report cards. I'm like, I don't know where to find my report cards.
Yeah, where do we dig this up?
Yeah, I have to ask my mother, and she'll shout and scream if I say to her, I need my report card.
Wait, what in the hell for? She didn't say much after that because she was clearly upset that none of us had our report cards on hold there. Like, just pull them out of the side of the couch. So here we go, Leanne.
All
1996.
Right, loads of things to get into this morning. I wanted to just tell you about my trip.
Your pictures, okay, and I always give you crap about your pictures, but they've really come along leaps and bounds. Plus, well, the content this time around.
I'm pleased to hear it. Thank you. Because Ben is the most severe critic of all, which I appreciate because he's one of the few people who can be honest with me. He's not afraid of me. You know, a lot of people, for whatever reason, some people who are just, I don't know if it's intimidation or if they feel like I'm going to scream and shout back at them or whatever, but Ben gives me straightforward criticism every time. So he told me once that I was taking too many selfies, and I took that very personally and stopped. And I've now decided that every picture that goes up has to be accompanied by a funny quotation or a funny caption.
Yeah, well, see, you have the ability to do that. I understand people who are quite, like, dense, who just have a picture because they can't speak or type.
Uh-huh.
But you have the gift of that.
So if I'm going to put something out, it might as well be good.
Yeah.
So I've kind of upped the game. But I also thought on this trip, there's nothing worse than these people who go on trips and they just take pictures of themselves in front of things. And they don't tell a story. And you kind of wonder, well, what are they doing this for? Are they doing it to prove to you they were there?
Yeah.
Because that's 100%. Not, it's not interesting either, you know?
It's just like a travel flex thing.
So what happened in this case is my parents were over there. My brother was going to go over for work. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm not going to get another too many opportunities to do things with my folks. They're already in their 60s. I mean, they've probably got a couple of good holidays ahead of them. But I don't want to join them on, you know, trips with a whole lot of old people.
And assisted walking.
Yeah, and that might be a problem. I've got to give both of them kudos. My mother, despite having her whole ankle reconstructed last year, walked like a machine through all of London, and then after that, round the English countryside like you cannot believe. Anyway, so they're not old and irritating by any stretch of the imagination now, but I imagine they will be, and that's just how it goes. So I thought, you know what? Bit of quality time with them. There are places in England I know that we'll appreciate together. Places they hadn't been to before. I hadn't been to some of these places before. And beautiful, beautiful scenery, gardens. This is my mother's kind of thing, you know, gardens. And my dad loves building. I mean, he was more interested in kind of the irrigation and plumbing of a lot of these places than he was in the architecture. But everybody had their thing. Like my mother would be looking at flowers. My dad would be looking at the plumbing and irrigation.
I'd be looking at the
buildings, yeah.
Your brother would be like herding his kids.
But we had a good time. I mean, I kind of got a bit mouthy with them about smoking at one point because, you know, they both smoke. And it was very important to have these cigarette breaks, which irritated the hell out of me on one family holiday when we went to France. But this was pleasant. And we got to see some really interesting places, met some interesting people, did cool things, which was excellent. And it was 4 days. I think I was there for 4 days exactly.
But how did you craft this kind of itinerary? Because it looked like you were shown around by, like, Brian Blessed or someone who really understands history. Like, you went to some amazing places.
Yeah, I put it together. And again, like my brother said to me, because he joined us for a day, after we'd gone through Windsor, he said to me, you should be charging people. You should set up a tour where you take an exclusive, like, group of 10. I mean, this would be my worst nightmare, but, you know, he means like, well.
But you have to screen them and none of them must smoke.
Well, I mean, none of them must be annoying in any which way. I've my patience is paper thin with almost everything. And I was giving them a tour around Windsor, which I know they wouldn't have got from anyone else. I was saying, you know, that's where the king shits and things like that that no one would know unless they'd spent 40 years of their lives studying floor plans and, you know, studying battles and figuring out what the line of succession is and kind of what happened here and what happened there and who's buried where and all of that stuff. And you have to know that stuff by memory because you can't be Googling this the whole time.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to go around, I suppose, and show them this stuff. My brother said if you took a tour of 10 people and you charged them a fortune, they would pay for it because he didn't know things that at the end of the tour that he thought he knew at the beginning. You know, see, so
and everything's so pristine and wonderfully preserved there.
Well, it is. I mean, look, you go to the nice places, you go to the tourist places. Most of England is pretty miserable and depressing and looks kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, most of the country is really, it's just, it looks like anywhere else. It's kind of not bad. It's not bad looking. It's pretty. It's summer. So the gardens are good, but people don't live well. I mean, we think in South Africa we live badly. And, you know, people who live in a house that has more than 3 rooms, I suppose you can consider yourself middle class. Mm. But
so what am I with my 2 rooms?
Hello, Gord.
What am I with my 2 rooms?
You do sound lower middle class. You actually do sound kind of sick, Alex.
I am sick, yeah. Because normally I lie when I tell you I'm sick.
You got 2 rooms?
The show.
Then you're lower middle class.
Lower middle class, shit.
Yeah.
Hey, look, that's actually better than I thought. I would have put myself a click lower than that.
So. Working class is all that's left after that, Gord.
Well, is there a working class in this country, seeing as everyone's unemployed?
No. I mean, working class is better than being unemployed, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotta be.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't like that rule-based society. This is the constant dilemma for me. And I know people move to Australia and people move to France and they move to Canada and all these places because they're desperate for a country that they, inverted commas, say, works.
Yeah.
And then they get there and they find that they get fined for, like, talking loud in their own back garden.
Not bringing your rubbish bins in on 9 a.m.
Correct. Yeah. And that kind of thing would drive me insane because I love that we live in a country where it's a bit like the Wild West. You can kind of make your own rules.
I was in Amsterdam and I thought it was pretty damn cool the way everything worked and people still are very free and liberated there.
Yeah, you were stoned.
Yeah, but I mean, there was more to it than that. I smoked a little bit of hash pretty much every day I was there, but I wasn't like tripping balls and imagining like... It wasn't a kaleidoscope of colors and shit. I was a little bit high. I spent 10 years of my life a lot high. I can navigate through highness.
Speaking of which, you know how Rob broke his leg?
What? What happened to him?
Oh, sorry, Gord. I thought you guys were tight.
We are, but
clearly
I don't speak to him every day.
You and Ben, as high Rob and Ben.
Yeah, so he busted.
What did he do? He
You've never had his MDMA-covered finger in your mouth, so just you shush.
Jesus. That was probably too much for everyone.
Yeah. Haddock is next level. He's extra as hell.
So hang on, what happened?
Yeah, what happened? Because he was boating. I saw like literally the day before yesterday, I saw his Instagram. He was boating with chums on the Amstel.
But that's the thing. Like High Rob's like lit AF all the time.
All the time.
And like in summer, obviously you get onto the canals.
Yeah.
And he said he was trying to prevent canals from crashing.
Canals from? Sorry. He was going to do that with his bare hands?
Yeah, 2 canals. I'll get in the middle of you, canals.
Yeah, man. Like, so these boats.
Canal, man.
He was trying to. Okay, look, I mean, he can tell the story himself at some stage, but he was trying to prevent boats from crashing, and he was just very boozed.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's another thing. You go on the river. I mean, we went on the Amstel River. There's other rivers, but that's like the main one that runs through bloody everything. And like, you can rent for, I think it was 40 euro. There were six of us and it was like 13. No, it was, yeah, so it's probably 60 or 70 euro. You can rent a boat that seats like eight people, like, and has one of those little rudder, operated motors. Yeah. Doesn't go terribly fast, but fast enough that if you were to drive it straight into another boat or into a wall or into a bridge, like everyone would, at the very least, everyone would get knocked out the boat and the boat would probably be a bit damaged.
No, it's dangerous. And you know, you
and
don't
they
realize
just give it to anyone
when you're on the water.
I hope the best.
There's a lot of inertia. Like, if the boat's moving forward,
yeah,
and you try to stop it with your leg goes,
oh, for sure.
Not the boat. You know?
No, that's it.
I mean, I'm talking about little boats, yeah, even.
And the one time, because, I mean, we were with a bunch of girls. My travel companion has some friends there. So we were like, it was me and like five girls, and or ladies. And they were taking turns driving, and it's a pretty simple thing to drive, and everyone was having fun driving, but the one person was really not kind of paying attention. And every now and again, we had to go like, okay, whoa, 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 you're kind of drifting. You treat it a lot like a road.
When you've got a bunch of people who are drunk and high, that's not good.
Yeah, and then trying to like, right, because now, okay, cool, you're heading towards the wall, just be careful, you're drifting and you're heading towards the wall. You turn the rudder and like, you just narrowly escape the wall. And a couple of times we wanted to put our hand out and push away from the wall. Now, it's like you said, that inertia, if you got your leg between the wall and the boat, serious problems. And
That's what happened to High Rob.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't terribly dangerous, but if you put your mind to it, you can fuck yourself up on those canals.
Sure, yeah. And obviously, if you put like 12
drinks hammered.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
All right, so we've announced that Ben is his last week, and he's finishing up on Friday.
Our last Wednesday together, Gord.
Yeah, are you?
It's the only damn reason I'm here, dude. I'm sick, but I couldn't miss the Ken Bobinski show for the last time.
Now, what is the protocol for keeping Ben on the group? I mean, we have to, right?
No, I'm off the group.
No, well, I mean,
are we going to kick
Ben
him off?
Ben may not want to be on the group because it's, you know, now it's like, screw you guys and your stupid group. But I don't feel like it's quite right without Ben.
Like, a lot of the group is people saying, oh, I'm running 5 minutes late, which would irritate the hell out of me. If I wasn't involved in the show, I don't want to know that.
Look, I mean, I don't get I sleep like the dead. I'm hard to go to sleep and hard to wake up. So I won't notice if there's two or three little dings while I'm fast asleep. But
Ben will.
I can only imagine that if part of the problem is the lifestyle of the really early morning for Ben to then continuously get let know every time anyone's running 5 minutes late.
I mean, what do you think the solution is here? Do we open up a new group that is much more logistics and we keep this one for the funny stuff? Because there's hilarious stuff that gets posted.
I mean, put it this way. Gord's reinvigorated the group, and he has the best memes. You know, like, people say, like,
thank you.
And people say, like, I've got the best weed.
The best memes.
Or I've got, like, the best mumpur in certain.
Yeah.
Gord's generally dealing the best memes.
The thing is, I just got to tell
everybody, you sent this one yesterday that I started screaming out with laughter.
When you actually howl at a meme, that's my favorite.
It's this woman sitting there on the phone, and she goes, I'm coming over. And then the guy goes, will you be long? And then they pan out from her, and she's
really
like,
long.
She's like 8 foot long, and it says yes.
You know what? I can't take credit for memes I didn't make. I make the odd meme. They hit and miss, but I make the odd meme. When I say nothing irritates me more, that's an exaggeration. It irritates me significantly when, like, you post a meme and someone is either like, oh, this is so good, please can I share it? Like, as if you authored it. Or they had shared the meme.
Do people still ask for permission, or do they just forward it?
No, sometimes. People on Facebook will like see that you shared their meme and be like, oh, real nice, you shared my meme with no credit. I literally always respond, oh shit, man, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you made this. Yeah. Like, you should have signed it. So I've got a network of people who forward me particularly good memes. I'm not the meme.
I'm not
the source. Yes,
I just want to interrupt this quickly. Gugu, do you know how the how to connect the phone up so that people can message us? Because I see that it's not connected properly. 0797482090. Can you figure that out for me?
I'll try.
All right, thank you. There we go. Gugu, hard at work, as you can tell. He'll try. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to quickly refer to before we get to the news, because there's a lot to do today. There's plenty going on. Ben sent this hilarious. You know that man who's kind of, they use him in those old people adverts? It's that guy with the beard who smiles. That
old stock guy.
That sad. You know the one? Anyway, there's a picture of him. He goes, it says here that it's impossible to feel happy and sad at the same time. And his wife goes, out of all your brothers, you have the biggest dick.
And he has that face. And then you see that face. They actually took that.
By the way, Gord, I like the beard. It works for you.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I've been growing it for a couple of months.
There's quite a lot of gray on that beard.
Oh, yeah. I've got that silver fox salt and pepper shit going on.
But it's actually nice because the gray complements your face, Gord.
Thank you. Right. Brings out your demeanor. I grew it. I've never tried to grow a beard before. My hair, I thought, was kind of patchy on my face. I've never given it a proper shot, like more than after 2-3 weeks of thick stubble, I give up. So yeah. A friend of mine who's an old colleague of mine who I love dearly, who rocks a beard, was like, dude, you can't knock it until you've tried it. I'm like, I've done it before, 3-4 weeks, it irritates me, I shave it. He's like, until you've given it 2 months, it's not a beard. So I
really?
Grew it,
2 months?
Yeah, so I grew it for 2 months and I started to kind of like it. And I asked those friends of mine who I know will give honest feedback, and the ratio was more or less 4-1. Huh. So kind of, you know, 80% of people that I would trust, most of them my women friends and a couple of my gay mates, all were like, dude, we love it. So, and I was like in two minds. And then my one friend was having a birthday party, and I was like, I just sort of, while doing my bathroom showering jewel, just saw my razor and shaved it. Mm-hmm. And I immediately regretted it. And I was like, okay, well, this proves that I do like the beard, because I wasn't sure. And then I got to do an A-B comparison. And so now I'd like grown it back properly now. It's been about 2 months and I intend to keep it for the rest of winter. So thank you for the kind compliment.
But what's your trimming regime?
Because I'm in need of a trim now.
What do? You set your razor thingy to like a number 4?
I don't have a cool pair of shears. But I just, when I get my hair cut, which in theory is every 2 weeks, in practice is more like every 3 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. Wow.
Well, this is how it works. It's
What are you growing? It's pelt of fur.
I just like to stay.
Every 2 weeks.
I like to stay trimmed up. But
I appreciate that. But every 2 weeks.
I've got short, thin hair on my head. So the thing is this.
Well, even more reason every 2 weeks is a.
But to see the 2 weeks thing is a false.
I was going to keep saying every 2 weeks until he gets angry.
No, I after every 2 weeks say time for a haircut. And then it takes at least one, if not two more weeks to actually go and get the haircut. So that's like setting your alarm, that extra alarm that you know you're going to snooze
through. You're just hitting snooze on your haircut.
You got your real wake up alarm, and then you've got your one or two, ignore it, it's a snooze alarm alarms. So after 2 weeks, the first snooze alarm goes off. I wanted to touch on memes, and this may be of interest to no one, but I wrote an article in 2002 that I got paid for to write for my old varsity about memetics, the study of memes. And like, the word meme being used to describe a meme is in itself a meme. So a meme can be defined as a unit of culture. And memetics is the study of memes and how they transfer. Now, the thing about memes is that they transfer. Now, we're not talking about pictures of funny shit on the internet. The fact that that got named a meme is a meme. Sure. Because the best example of a meme is how people on campus in varsity know the handshake. There's the handshake. For us, it used to be like slap hands and then click the thumb. And everybody on campus that's
a unit of culture.
Yes. And they transferred like de facto, not de jure. So you don't get explained like, okay, guys, so the new hip greeting for this month is Schwacke Brew. And then that'll be that for the next 2 months. And all the young people
it
learn
just happens.
It. You just know that's the handshake. Huh. You know, like slap hands go in for a hug. Everyone does it. No one's ever told you, well, welcome to your new university. And here are your introduction notes. And let me show you the handshake, like Freemasons. Mm. So when you learn the new hip word, like my supposedly incorrect use of the word lit, which subsequently, extra, which subsequently in the last week, I've stress tested against people aged 17 to 27 and have been told by all of them I'm right. Dickie McCorrectenstein from the radio show, you are incorrect about how to use extra. So things like lit.
He's been harboring that for a whole.
No, I just
week.
I haven't. I just
you,
checked.
You have your skin is thin, my friend.
Dude, I wasn't heartbroken about it.
I got such a great email for
you. I was curious.
I saved this. For
I was curious because I wanted to know if the guy was right.
Let me read.
So
you
I
something.
Asked the young people at work, from the intern to the 27-year-old. And they informed me that I was using it correctly. I'm not like upset or losing sleep. I was interested
Here's
to know
an email.
If it was true.
Here's an email I get. And then we've got to get to
I can't wait for an abusive email.
Subject Gord.
Is such a dick.
What a great subject.
From Mike. Mike says, shut him up, please, or give him his own show at midnight.
That's a burn.
Hey, look, I get a lot of really nice people sending me a lot of really nice things. I don't mind if not everybody likes me.
You had a guy
me.
Yesterday saying you're like a male role model to him.
Yeah, that was a little kind of awkward, but it was touching.
A
you
male
as
role
well.
Model.
Just this dude on Instagram who wrote like a long thing. I think, God forbid, something happened to his pops or whatever, because it was like a picture of old photo of like a family. And then he was like, in life, you need good role models. It's not just fathers and brothers and teachers. There's also other people that make a difference in your life. And he listed seven
There's
or
gods.
Eight people, and me and GC were among them. You might have been as well. I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't right. actually, just quickly to close, I don't actually have that that thin of a skin. I was worried the Oak might be right, so I just went and checked. Because you don't want to be using a word incorrectly
I like
all
that
the
you
time.
Did. I love that.
It's research.
You're very thorough.
Yeah.
That's good.
I was like, shit, am I using it wrong? I'm pretty damn sure I'm not, and I'm not.
And you can, you are, I'll give you credit for one thing. I'll give you credit for a lot of things, but one thing that you... You love language and you love to use it properly.
Love it.
And you use language very well.
I try to.
Yeah. And it's one of the reasons we like having
your way more than Mike is wants language to be properly used.
All right. Important. We've got to get some news headlines in. There are a lot of messages for Ben, which I'll get to in a minute. And we've got to get to news, sports. So let's give that a crack. Apparently, while introducing her department's budget vote on Tuesday, Lindiwe Sisulu said her department would like to be the first to benefit from this legislation. That's the legislation on land expropriation. Human Settlements Minister Lindiwe Sisulu has voiced her satisfaction with a draft legislation on the expropriation of land without compensation already having been published. Sisulu said she hoped the process could be fast-tracked. While introducing her department's budget vote on Tuesday, Sisulu said her department would like to be the first to use it. I'm glad Parliament has finally got to the point where we're able to expropriate land and I would like to be the first taker. Of course she would. All this government can do is take. That's what they're good at. They cannot create anything of value. They just take.
At least come up with like a more sanded at the corners word than taker.
No, this is perfect language. What I like is it's
honest.
Oh,
no, I know it's right. No. It's just not very...
No, I like it. I mean, it's showing you the true colors of someone like Lindiwe Sisulu, who has spent her entire life trading on her name, which her father made, not her, and her mother made. She is a complete wastrel. This woman has achieved absolutely nothing in and of her own volition. She is the inheritor of a surname. She is an aristocrat in the ANC context. And as a result, she's one of those entitled people who feels that she's in a position to try and do something for someone when the only someone she knows how to do something for is herself. So let's not even go down this road. But there was a fascinating article published by the Rational Standard last week, which I actually shared. Maybe I didn't share it on Twitter because nobody on Twitter reads, but I think I shared it somewhere else.
Or yeah, or writes. I don't know. They hit the keyboard and it makes interesting shapes.
Correct.
But I don't think it's writing.
Thank you very much. But the article was very interesting in that it talks about how much land is government owned and how much of South Africa is owned by tribal chiefs, who are essentially the real aristocrats of South Africa, because these are people who make their own rules up. They are beyond the scope of the legislature.
And they tell you who to vote for.
They tell you who to vote for. And most people are basically in a feudal system in South Africa.
Yeah, you buy that area leader.
We criticize colonialism and we criticize all the other slavery, but there are people still living in a feudal system in South Africa where they owe allegiance to a chief and they only live on the property they live on because the chief has said they could. Now, that is so backward and so primitive that it beggars belief that we're even talking about expropriating whatever land it is that government has in their mind's eye or that the EFF talk about, when we have a feudal system.
And the government own more than half the country's land.
Correct. And we're talking about vast swathes of South Africa, not just the homelands, the Bantustan, supposedly. The only place, the only province in which there is more white land ownership than any others is Gauteng. There is no other province, and that is because most of Gauteng is urban, and most of the urban areas are not vast, huge farms that go on as far as the eye can see. It's small holdings and townhouses and properties that have been bought. So I don't know where this theft idea comes from, and it's obviously nonsense. And people are just buying it hook, line, and sinker, and it's driving everybody crazy. Stop it.
Another topic that you're not really allowed to bring up without sort of immediately invoking some kind of racism.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, I'm a person that really doesn't give a shit. Like, everyone's like, you know, I'm not racist. No, no, no. I know that I'm not, and I just don't let it be an issue in my life. But it is a fact that when white folks arrived and started doing admittedly really bloody terrible things in this country, the Zulu Empire was busy colonializing and empiring the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we interrupt your colonization to colonize.
Yeah.
Like, they had taken over, and I got my homie Kulani, you can't see on camera.
Guga's constantly telling us how the Zulus are better than everyone else.
But they're proud of it, and it's like...
talking about, Gareth.
They're proud of it. I mean, I got my homie Kulani in studio. You can't see or hear him, but Kulani and I discuss it all the time. And Kulani's Zulu, and he has to go do traditional shit in KZN all the time. And it's a point of pride. We took over, and you know, you killed the men, assimilate the women and children, and
which means usually colonization.
And took a whole lot of different disparate small little tribes and communities around KZN and the surrounding areas and conquered half the country and was busy doing that.
By the way, if you'd like a synopsis of this, we have a blind history episode on Shaka Zulu, which I would appreciate everybody taking a listen.
Yeah, good punt for that. Let's check that out. Anyway, again, not saying anyone's right or wrong.
Okay, other news.
Just saying it's a real thing.
We've got to move through the news. Sorry, Gord. As she awaits an ANC decision, this horrendous human being, Zandile Gumede, she's the... Durban mayor. She's been criminally charged, but she and her supporters are adamant that the ANC has not followed due process. See, when people are stuck because they're clearly wrong, they start talking about things like due process.
Which is ironic, seeing as they couldn't give a toss about due process.
Yeah, when she was handing out tenders to her cousins-in-law, she didn't give a shit about due process. Now suddenly she's the one who's interested in process. She's set to return to her official duties this week, tomorrow. But she's facing strong opposition. You don't say. The mayor was placed on leave courtesy of the ANC's Provincial Executive Committee while it decided how best to handle the public relations nightmare without prejudicing her rights. I say, bugger her rights. The only reason she even exists in the public consciousness is because she became Durban mayor. How did she do that? She did that by asking us, as people of South Africa and people of Durban in particular, can I run this place? We said, sure. You've disabused yourself of the ability to run that. You've lost the public trust. As
disabused is a great word.
It's a good word, right?
What does that mean?
It means that you have, let me just think, the person disabuses you. It means they correct you. They put you in a position where you thought something, but they've changed your mind.
Okay, so she's corrected
herself.
She's
disabused us of the notion that she was a good, honorable person.
Okay, got you.
Makes sense?
Yeah, got you. Thank you.
All right. A Mr. Delivery driver was accused of raping a customer in her home. Now, this is not good, because you think about it. Yeah, you order food. The last thing you're expecting is a raping.
Well, that guy was cracking one off outside the gate.
Nothing funny about rape, but that caught me off guard. That is probably the last thing you're expecting. I mean, I get upset when they bring me the wrong shit. I get upset when I say, like, no tomato, and they put tomato anyway. I have a little hizzy. If it came with rape, laughing at rape. Oh, God, we doomed. I suggested black people were colonizing each other, and now we've made fun of rape. This is going to go badly.
The show is spiraling out of control.
Yeah, it will be hate mail. We will be social media.
According to a police source, a 26-year-old woman had ordered food from Spur that night, and while paying the delivery guy, he pushed her to the floor and allegedly raped her. She ordered food. A few minutes later, he arrived at her house. She said... he was of a dark complexion, short guy wearing black jeans and a hoodie. She let him in and locked the gate and told him to put the food on the kitchen table while she fetched the money to pay him. The delivery man allegedly followed her down the passage, and as she gave him the money, he asked her if she lived alone. She told him she lives with her father. Now, already, this is really starting to worry me, because I wouldn't allow a delivery person into the house.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy. As a girl, that's a bad move. You collect the stuff outside. You go outside the door. You close the door. I mean, I'm not correcting her. I mean, maybe she's done this 100 times and she doesn't think twice about it. But also, the guy starts asking, do you live alone? Yeah. He allegedly told her she was beautiful and he loved her before pushing her against a wall. Oi, oi, oi. This is a horrible, horrible story. The woman was taken for a medical examination afterwards, and her relatives contacted Mr. Delivery to obtain the driver's information, which was handed to police.
Did you see the one where a similar delivery person, I don't know if it was Order In or Uber Eats or Mr. Delivery or which one, but there was a dude and he started beating one out in the parking lot.
That was also Mr. D.
Was it Mr. D? Yeah. They really do live up to their name, man.
No, but you know what? This is, I get upset when people say Uber driver, you know, kills X, Y, and Z, or Mr. Delivery guy rapes in this case. This is not a company policy. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be clear. These are people who, they're like freelancers, effectively. They come in, they say, I've got a bike, and I'd like to do this job because I can't find work anywhere. And Mr. Delivery says, sure, you can work for us. Here are the rules. And they go, yeah, okay. Probably, maybe they don't even pay attention to the rules because they're just doing it for a, you know, side job, maybe. So everybody climbs into Mr. Delivery, like Mr. Delivery or Uber are the problem. They're not.
Yeah, and I mean, look, if it was happening all the time and there was a trend about it, then it would be – you hear stories, and not only from South Africa, of like people getting in the wrong Uber or people posing as Uber drivers and then taking women away and doing terrible things. But you'll find like the vast majority of – people convicted of these sort of horrible, terrible crimes.
They got major problems.
They just have random jobs, like the OXA clerk at a certain store. And then when he finishes work, he goes raping.
But what I find bizarre about these situations is that everybody immediately jumps to the company because they see money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the victims. I'm talking about us, the public. We go, oh, well, Mr. Delivery must explain themselves, or Uber have to explain themselves.
Yeah, we have 50,000 people that have worked for us in the last 5 years, and it turned out one or two of them were psychos.
Right, which
now,
is
if you look at the ratio
indicative.
Of psychos to ordinary people in the world, that's pretty much on par.
Correct.
If you have enough employees in your company,
you're gonna have
it grows and grows and grows and grows, once you start getting into the thousands, you'll pick up a psycho.
Anyway, apparently,
statistically, it has to happen.
Mr. Delivery are helping them to track this guy down. He seems to have run away. Look, there are crazy crackpots out there.
But with what I just said about how you statistically, invariably, if hire enough people, you'll get a psycho eventually, you should be careful. I mean, do the whole transaction outside. Even if it's just outside your door, your front door, you can run away. You know what I mean? You can scream and maybe a neighbor will catch you. Yeah. When you let someone in the house and they have the opportunity to close the door behind them, there's really no need for it. So, like, I'm not at all suggesting that this lady brought it upon herself or anything like that. But a lesson for everyone else to take out of this terrible thing is, like, I live in a typical Norwegian complex, and I stand 1 meter in front of my door, or I even open my door and let the dude who's not inside pass me the things. You know, like, for him to get in, he'd have to get through me.
I go out into the driveway.
Always driveway, yeah.
Yeah, so let that be something that everybody takes from this. Like,
all right, and then finally in the news, Zimbabwe's opposition MP has been charged with treason because there's only one. No, there are more than one opposition MPs. Zimbabwe lawmaker Job Sikala, who's the vice chairman of the opposition MDC, was on Tuesday charged with treason after allegedly saying his party would overthrow the government before the next election. You know, anything, this place is, talk about a, we spoke about Zim the other day. Talk about a crazy, ruined, failed state. A banana republic. This is one of them.
They don't even have bananas.
No. No, if they had bananas, people would be able to eat. They don't. They're a banana republic without bananas.
They're a bananaless republic.
Correct. Let's leave that.
That is damning. Huh?
That is the most damning. That is the most horrible insult you could say about any country.
Yeah, that's really
like,
worse than
that's like being a shithole, but the shit wasn't delivered this week. We're hoping it comes next week.
All right, let's get to Ben and the sport. Ben has got only this one and Friday's left.
Second
so
last, penultimate.
Count, yeah.
All right, AFCON today, Bafana Bafana against Nigeria. Jake White has an idea around making rugby more exciting.
Oh, yeah?
The latest from Wimbledon and why John Daly shouldn't ever play the British Open. And then we're down to the quarterfinals, the business end of AFCON 2019. So eight teams left, if you don't understand what that is. Senegal will take on Benin today, and that will be at 6 o'clock. And then the big one is Nigeria versus Bafana Bafana at 9 o'clock.
Can we just pretend for a minute that we live in a country where people care about this stuff? No one's going to watch Senegal-Benin, right? No one. It's probably on SABC.
Quite a few Senegalese and Beninis will watch it.
Senegalese.
No, I mean in this country. South Africans, we pretend we're all part of Africa, but we get excited when Bafana play, and we don't really. I don't think anyone in this country, South Africa, we criticize the rest of the world. I bet you, if you ask people around the office today, point to Senegal or Benin on a map, they will not be able to.
In that sense, Gareth, perhaps, but at the same time, if you like football and you care about where your team is going in the tournaments, you want to know what everyone else is like. So
I don't even think so. No. I don't even think so.
Well, that's because you don't watch Bafana Bafana.
No, and no one will today either, because they're going to lose to Nigeria.
They're in the quarter, they've just beaten Egypt, the host country.
They're going to lose to Nigeria. Don't pretend to get excited about something that's never going to happen.
Gareth, they've just beaten Egypt, okay? So stop being a git. These guys have beaten Egypt. They are flying high right now. And the thing is, Bafana Bafana gets so much stick, and rightly so, because they're often so cuck. But they've just beaten the host country in AFCON. So you can only but be excited slightly, even if, from your perspective, meant just partially aroused by the idea that this game could go somewhere.
Oh, my God, no!
If it does go somewhere, well, I'll tell you how much these guys stand to earn. Bafana Bafana getting to the last 16, 320,000 rand each. Mm-hmm. Quarterfinals where they are now, 520,000 rand each.
Hmm.
Of course, as I keep going, more and more side checks are sliding into DMs right now. The semifinals, they'll get 670,000 each. And winning AFCON will get them 920,000 rand each. But what do their Nigerian counterparts get? Well, for the quarterfinals, where they are right now, they get more. They get 671,000 rand each. Mm. If they get to the semis, they get 920,000, which is exactly the same as Bafana get for winning it. And if they do go all the way and win it, like they did in 2013, they get 1.2 million rand.
Ooh.
So Nigeria are richer than South Africa, is what I'm getting at there.
All right.
Both in economy and in player bonuses. But yeah, Safa might even, you know, Safa might throw in, might sweeten the deal. Danny Yordan is obviously sitting on a lot of court papers and a lot of money at Safa, because, you know, you're getting about 10, 11 million by being in this competition and going quite far. So, yeah, they've got some cash. They've got a bit of cash.
I wonder if the Nigerian football team always arrive late for the game, but when you phone them and ask them where they are, they tell you they're 20 minutes away, no matter how far away they are.
Gordon, I'll investigate that. It's a fair point.
But on the topic of sports teams and unequal pay, it's such a weird catch-22 with the women being so up in arms about not getting the equal pay as the men. And I agree everyone should be paid the same wage for the same work. But the money comes from the support, from the amount of people working. So
it does indeed.
More people got to watch women's football so that women can get paid more for their football. And the American and British teams are awesome.
Well, I can tell you something interesting about, well, something inconveniencing, as we've already had colonization and rape on the show this morning. But if anything, the women are actually overpaid, if you look at how it breaks down. So what happens is that you'll get, okay, say for instance, that I'm using hypotheticals here. There's about 400 million gets generated from a FIFA World Cup for the men's, but only like 10 or 12 gets generated for the women. So what are they going to get from that pie? The percentage that they can get as players, right?
Yeah.
But I think as it breaks down, I stand to be corrected here, but men essentially get 7% of the pot. Now, here we go. Female players get 13% of the revenue for the World Cup, right? Men get 9% of the revenue for the World Cup.
Mm. So in other words, Messi and Ronaldo are being paid less than they should be, and those women are being paid more.
That makes sense to me. So but I still think it should be, because, I mean, football is a game where women can play. It's like tennis. There's like no shitness about women's football. It's not like when women play rugby, they don't really have the physicality for it, so it's not on the same level as, you know, but MMA is a sport where women can thrive. Tennis is a sport where women can thrive, and they're kind of like both seen, held in the same esteem. So this World Cup's done a lot to raise the profile of women's football, and I hope that continues.
I didn't watch it, but it was cool. I don't watch very much.
Anyway, I don't want to derail Ben's thing too much. All I'm saying is that it was really good, and I hope it raises the profile more so that everyone can stop bitching about equal pay and people actually start supporting a women's team.
But Gordon, I'll take a step further. Women's football's been great for a while now. I think people are so patronizing when they say, well, I watched in 2019, and those American women were really, really good. These American women have been shit hot since the 90s.
Yeah, but they've been good forever.
It's a product. It's all it is. It's a product like anything else. There is rand, cents, income, outcome, a little bit of skullduggery here and there, like any other business, and they get what they can get. It's nothing more than that. Like, equal pay. Okay, cool. So let's find this mythical $600 million somewhere.
which is just going to divide up among you. Like, you know, does FIFA now go to the sponsors and go, so guys, you know the sponsorship deal that we're giving you where you get this much coverage for this much market-related spend? How about you spend 10 times as much, but you still get the same market-related
on an event fewer people watch?
Do you think the sponsors are going to go, yeah, actually, that makes sense. Yeah, let me pay 10 times what I actually am paying right now. Because that's what equal pay is.
Yeah, but great tournaments like this one that were exciting and had some really high-quality football and some great characters come out of it and... I think it's good. I think it's good. It's the right trajectory.
I said it a few weeks ago. I've watched more FIFA Women's World Cup than I have watched AFCON. I think it's been better. It's been more entertaining.
Good
and I was
for
since we've been having the most politically incorrect show in history, I will say it's also great to watch because the women are so hot. And I feel
now you got too far.
I feel nothing saying that because I was told by a gay man 2 days ago that he only watches soccer because the men are so hot. So screw it. Objectify everyone equally.
You've made it so smutty now. Anyway, other way, Thursday, Ivory Coast versus Algeria, Madagascar versus Tunisia. That's your other way. In Cricket World Cup, it absolutely bucketed down yesterday in Manchester. New Zealand got off to a shaky start. Well, it was difficult to bat on, that's why. And the fact that Jasprit Bumrah is really good.
Who?
Jasprit Bumrah.
You made that up.
No, it's...
Just beat Bumrah.
Jasprit... Just Jasprit, Jasprit Bumrah.
Jasprit, Jasprit Bumrah.
All right, Gord, if you want to know appropriate Indian culture as well
I'm
with your
just
sexism.
Making sure I got the name right. I knew a man once named Ram Bumrah, but that's a different story for another day.
Well, Jasprit Bumrah was so miserly at the top when he was really getting into the top end of the batsman. Kane Williamson has always stood around. He scored a 67. But he took a bloody long time doing so because the conditions were so difficult. Anyway, the rain came down. 211 for 5 they were with, I think, 3 or 4 overs to go. And then the rain just did not stop. So, there's 23 balls left in the innings. New Zealand are going to come out here with obviously zero momentum. They got Ross Taylor and Tom Latham at the crease. But there's no ways they can really escalate from there and get a really big score. So India, out and out favourites to win this one, because no doubt if it is going to be worth playing today, they'll have decent batting conditions to chase all of, what, 230, 225 around there. So I would say they're going to go through. But who will they meet in the final? Australia versus England on Thursday. Very exciting. I think those two teams are quite evenly matched. I would give the edge to England, though, because Australia, well, Khawaja's got a dodgy groin slash thigh, hamstring, and they've got to bring in Hanscom. And well, Warner's already fired so much. I think he shot his bolt, quite frankly, and he's going to just fall away now. In rugby, Jake White, he every now and again has an absolute pearler of insights, wisdom, and all that kind of things. And he says that the rugby union should be supporting the 50-22 rule. Now, what that means is that if you are, in a kicking sense, right, if you are kicking the ball from inside your half and you can get it out in the opposition's 22 while it bounces, you win the line out, which is really cool. Because up until now, I mean, every single winning team in sport, look at the New Zealanders, they kick the ball more than anyone else. And I know it's a bit of a myth because people think they play the beautiful game, and they do. They've got amazing handling. But they're the best kickers in the world. That's why they win World Cups. That's why South Africa won in 95 and 2007. They kicked the crap out of it. So what he's suggesting is that if you have this rule, then it forces defending teams to put people looking back for the kick, and obviously that'll then mean there's less defenders in front of them, which will actually encourage them to then run. So this is something that maybe World Rugby can consider, and I think it's a really good innovation. Also, however you can make the game smarter and have less contact and just stupidity is great, although it probably will mean New Zealand look even better because they are smarter on their feet. I didn't make that up, it's just the truth. In the Wimbledon, well, the ladies' draw had a big shock yesterday. Well, if you're an English person, there was a shock. Strykova.
Only if you're English. Everyone else was not shocked.
Strykova, I got that in one. She beats Joanna Konta, the big English hope, 7-6, 6-1. Konta was really angry. She had a bit of a fracas with the umpire, to which she said, "Do not patronize me." And then sort of walked off in a huff.
I heard Serena was fined a bunch of money for, like, she damaged the court.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not very nice. Well, no. She did. Yeah, she went through yesterday. She beat Risk 6-4, 4-6, 6-3. So she'll take on Strykova. And then on the other side of the draw,
Yeah, you see, there's going to be one.
Svitolina. That's the easier one. Svitolina, she beat Machova. And then she'll take on Halep, who beat Zhang. It's an interesting sport when the Chinese names are the ones you can really nail because they're easiest. So those are your semifinals for the women. Serena Williams versus Strakova and Svitolina versus Halep. Of course, today we'll see quarterfinals in the men's. Djokovic, Goffin, Pella, Batista, or Gatt. Query versus Nadal and Nishikori versus Federer. That is how the man's draw will go. John Daly, we all know him. He is that sort of fat American guy with a ginormous cock, but a horrible history of alcohol abuse and smoking. Well, they call him Long John Daly, not because he hit the ball so fast, because he's just got a monster hose in him. Anyway, he's got arthritis in his knee. But he's also treated his body like a toilet.
Because his cock keeps hitting his knee.
He does, Gareth, yeah. Every time he walks.
At least he's only got it in the one knee. Off leftist is even worse.
So, Long John's been treating his body like a toilet for so long.
But what a life, bro.
Yeah, but look, sure, he's had his addictions. He's a big gambler. He used to drink like 20 cans of Diet Coke a day and eat like a ton of M&Ms. And he's been a bit of a wild sort of animal on tour, which is great for entertainment issues when you're young. But now he's just old and fat, and he wears the most horrific clothing. It's like he's an acid trip on legs, not even good legs
what
anymore.
What a beaut! What a beauty!
Yeah, he's won the Open Championship. He's also won the PGA Championship. So earlier this year, he played the PGA Championship on his car. So he drives a car because he said he can't walk because of his arthritis in his knee.
Yeah.
So the RNA, obviously, the guardians of the game, they said, well, John, we strongly sympathize with your issue, but we also couldn't really give a toss. We're not having you fat mess, on a golf cart. Not their words, of course. I made that up.
Ooh. So, I have to say, that's really insensitive of them.
Yeah, so basically,
pretty standard for you, though.
Basically, he says, you know, he understands where they're coming from, but they made the wrong decision. And obviously, there's different rules in different continents, because in America, there's obviously a Disabilities Act or whatever. So they allow him. And John plays on the senior tour, where there's a lot of old, dodgy, you know, old people who drive golf carts. But golf's a professional sport. Like cricket, you can't have a runner if you've got a dicky leg when you're batting, right? So in golf, if you can't walk, you can't play. Let's actually just make that a law. Forget about sympathies and all the other kind of crap. If you can't walk, you can't play golf. Sorry, that's just
I don't necessarily agree. I mean, you are the golf expert, and I'm definitely not. But my theory is, if it doesn't damage anything and you can, there's a way to get you to the spot where you have to play.
It was a disaster. He's on a golf cart.
Fair enough. Look,
because you think, like, with the crowds, the way they're structured, they're not structured for a guy on a golf cart. He's probably got beers in the back.
Gord feels he has to defend him.
No, I don't. I just don't. I just think you
the
could.
The fat meeting.
Yeah,
John
like
Daly,
the fat society.
John Daly's plight.
No, I missed the fat meeting this year because it overlapped with the patriarchy meeting where we sit and plan how to hold the women down.
Yeah.
The patriarchy. Like, well, really, you've just got a disparate, completely disorganized, in no way connected group of dickheads. Just operating under societal norms they were raised under, and if you were nice to them,
with the singular purpose, by the way, of keeping women
if you just politely explain to someone that's doing something that they don't realize is wrong,
any meeting of men ever constituted. Yep. Was not constituted to keep women down.
Dude, I've seen you at the annual gatherings of the whites.
Oh, well, yeah, that one, yeah.
Where we talk about how to retain the wealth.
We get together just for that. It makes us feel so good about ourselves.
Yeah, how are we going to hold everyone down this year, guys? Right. God, we had some good ideas at the last one. I was so inspired coming out of it.
Nothing's happened. I'm very disappointed.
Implementation is always our problem.
Yeah.
All right, back to Ben.
So, yeah, John Daly will not be playing, and it's great because we don't want to see the best links golf courses in the world have this orange mess or whatever other horrible clothes he wants to throw on his body.
He's jawed more in his life.
Great, and I'm all for it, and I think he's been great to a degree in the sport, but that was a long time ago.
He's too gammy.
Now, it's like when you're at a dinner party because you want to introduce your new girlfriend to the family, and your old drunk uncle comes out in like a mesh fucking bathrobe,
dude,
and he's still got cocaine on his nostrils. It's like, you just don't want to see it. And that's what John Daly is on a golf course. Sure,
I
you love your uncle, and it was a time.
I walked
place,
out of a lunch because of that once, meeting my ex-girlfriend's family. Not this one that traumatized me so much with the overseas stuff, a previous one. And she's lovely, and she's wonderful, and her family are lovely and wonderful, but she has a grandfather that lived in Swellendam, and he passed away, and we went there for the funeral, and his wife, the grandfather's wife, is like this horrific, very old, massively racist woman who thinks that dropping K-bombs never mind at all, but at full conversation volume in a restaurant is okay. And they warned me beforehand. They're like, look, we've always hated this woman. She was married to Grandpa. He loved her. They looked after each other. And now, like, Grandpa's dead. We kind of gonna, it's the funeral. We kind of have to tolerate her for a short while. Once we sort, once we sort out the estate and figure out what's hers and what's ours, she's on her own. But like, you know, the whole family's here for the funeral. You're going to meet Grandma. I just got up and left. I didn't make a thing. I wasn't like, because they were like, look, we've tried to change her. She's in her late 80s. Like, we've tried. It's a lost cause.
To the core.
Because I would correct someone and I would make a thing of it. And not only a K-bomb, anything like a homophobic slur, whatever. I'll say something. I don't just awkwardly scratch my chin. But I, after like the second or third one, and thankfully, like, unrelated, my mother has a B&B there and also lives in Swellendam. Just sheer coincidence. I was just like, cool, I'm going to go to my mom's, guys, let me know when you're done. And Ingrid, my ex, was like, where are you going? Are you okay? And I just said to her, I can't right now. She's very, very sorry. And I gave her my wallet. I'm like, please pay for all of our stuff. And like an hour and a half later. But yeah, I mean, yeah, see, you can't with some old people, hey.
Well, on that, let's just wrap it up. So Daly is out of the Open Championship. And with it being so British, the RNA then actually emailed Kevin Streelman, who's obviously with the next alternate, and said, hello, Kevin, there's been a withdrawal from the Open. There is now space for you if you'd like to play.
Oof. Which is not great.
Oh, that's great. It's been a withdrawal. So, yeah, I mean, John Daly's had his time. But also, let's get some interesting people in there. The Open Championship is next week. How very exciting. Scottish Open this week.
All right.
Just quickly, would you rather be a massively – okay, you love golf, so it's not a good question for you, Gareth. Hypothetically, would you rather be a very successful footballer or golfer?
Golfer.
Obviously, golfer.
They make more money and they don't hurt themselves.
Oh, they don't have the quite the same level of adulation.
No, it's
and
okay.
And they're not always as good looking.
I don't want that. You go out, you do your thing. And golf seems like it's also a little bit more sophisticated. Like,
and you can also choose your schedule. Like Ronaldo and Messi and them, they're essentially slaves.
They're bound by the season. Well, they're servants. All that, but slaves servants. Don't get paid. They damn sure do.
Okay, they're servants, essentially.
Oh. Or like, just people with a job.
Like Rory McIlroy will just... Like Justin Rose
play when he wants to.
Bought a house in Bermuda so he can just chill more.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the way to live, man.
I got you.
I'd be interested to know if what the listeners think is like the best possible job. The best possible job you can ever have.
There was that job that was up on auction.
Caretaking an island.
Yeah, that was sounded like a good one.
Yeah, it was an ad campaign for tourism, but it was a brilliant. It's a brilliant ad campaign.
Is being a Kardashian a job? Because a lot of people seem to think that.
Yeah, you can't just say celebrity. No. You could say Hollywood actor.
Yeah,
you could say famous rock singer, famous R&B singer, whatever. But you can't just be famous. Is not a job. It's a side. It's a side effect.
All right. Well, we've got a load of feedback here. Lots of people with questions and comments about Ben leaving the end of this week, and a lot of comments about Gord. And lots of other really interesting stuff. We're going to get to all of that just now. Plus, we have it's savings month, so this is I have to get my finances in order this month too. So this appeals to me.
You and me both, dude. Overseas travel, it just hurts.
So we're going to talk a little bit about saving, and we're going to get an expert in to help us with that. Plenty to come. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.